So we are in this sermon series, which is part of this community Bible experience that some of us are really kind of engaging in. We have a couple life groups that are going to be meeting on Tuesday, and it's going to be going through the end of June. I think we're just not quite midway through. This week we're going to be beginning week four. So again, I just want to remind folks, if you don't have one of these little bookmarks, and there's I think a couple of these left in the foyer, even if you're at... We're basically going to be starting in at week four, so that doesn't mean that you need to go back to week one and read everything back. I would just want to encourage you to just kind of stay with it and start in at week four. We'll be discussing that next week, so the Tuesday life groups basically read and discuss the previous week's readings. And if you're just visiting with us, you know, just kind of dive in to this morning's message. It's going to be one of the passages that's part of the readings that took place this past week. My hope is that some of you are utilizing, there's different resources as well that are part of this, on this biblica.com website, which is on the back of the bookmark. You can get sort of email reminders, or a little information about kind of what we're reading, and it's really kind of an ambitious thing in a lot of ways, but it is really a unique format. So if you're not engaging in this, the whole approach is that you're basically reading it kind of in more of a narrative form. It removes some of the chapter and verses that we're kind of accustomed to, and really just seeing and reading Scripture in a fresh way and with a fresh fresh format. This morning we're going to be looking at a couple of verses out of the book of Romans, which is a really rich and theologically complex book. But I want to show just a real brief 1-minute video that's one of the resources that this Covenant Bible Community Bible Experience has on these emails that you get if you've subscribed to that. So. Do you have that video ready to go? All right. Bernie, can you turn off the front lights, please?
After years trekking across the eastern half of the empire, Paul sets his sights westward, hoping to make Rome his base of operations. Paul wrote to the church there, introducing himself and his mission. Romans is one of Paul's more methodical letters. He'll carefully craft an argument, then take a step back to anticipate some of his readers' questions. His main goal? Making the case for welcoming Gentiles into the community of faith. Paul plays off themes from the ancient Jewish story: captivity, rescue, identity, and inheritance. In the story Paul tells, all people, both Jew and Gentile, are enslaved by sin. So Jesus comes to rescue them. He gives people a new identity and leads them into a new inheritance, a world that is being redeemed and restored.
So again, that's just kind of a snapshot, but this gives you an example of some of the different resources and the videos and things that are part of this reading plan that you can avail yourselves to. But that particular, one of the key verses that we're going to be looking at this morning comes out of Romans 12:2, which is really one of my favorite verses, which says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So we're going to be looking at this passage that encompasses that particular verse, but it really touches on a broader theme that we have here at Grace Covenant that's really something very important, something that I think is often very neglected in our broader spirituality, that's really about kind of self-awareness of our inner life. And I talk about that often, about recognizing the extent to which so much of who we are really resides under the surface. We have, I don't know if you can see from the back row, but like this banner over here, if you look down towards the bottom, I know you can't all see it, but even the banner that's in the front, you know, has this image of this iceberg, which is really just a good image that kind of visualizes the fact that so much of our lives resides really under the water. And if you're familiar with an iceberg, you know, there's sort of a portion, I think like 10 or 15% is above, and that's kind of what we see. And if you just imagine that metaphor for a moment, just how much of our lives are kind of lived on the surface, but so much of who we are is really under the surface. And it's really, you know, this whole image and this whole kind of metaphor is really what Pete Scazzaro calls a tip of the iceberg spirituality that can be very rampant in our own spirituality. The image of that iceberg, I think, captures it well. And our self-awareness tends to be relatively superficial often. You know, we have either whether it's we don't have the bandwidth to kind of really step back and reflect on our lives sometimes, or just, you know, or getting into deeper stuff is no small thing. It can be very difficult. It can be painful. We can kind of look back at our past and different things that lead us to react or to respond to different things the way we do today is often based on just all the stuff that's gone on in our lives up until that point. So the big idea today is to recognize is this. It's not about what we do, but really about who we are. You know, a lot of who we are is just character formation and just that inner life that is often kind of very hidden to others and even to, to the people around us. That notion of hidden life is a place that God really allow, we can allow God to really transform us and renew our minds. And that's that key verse in Romans 12:2, thus allowing him to better use us in the outer life. So let me go and pray for us as we delve into this morning's message. I just want to invite you to really stay with me as we delve into these passages out of Romans. Let's pray. So God, I thank you for this broader community Bible experience study that we've been doing, Lord, just kind of getting the big picture, the upper story of the New Testament, Lord. I thank you for the book of Romans and for just really the richness and the theological depth that's there, Lord. And even though we're just getting a snapshot out of it, I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to do that very thing, Lord, in renewing our minds and renewing, transforming us through the renewal of our minds, Lord. And we just pray, God, that you would, even this morning, just open our eyes and our ears to see and hear what you have for us this morning, Lord, that there would be a connection between heart and mind, Lord, as we delve into your word, Lord, and that there would be transformation that comes out of being connected and tied to you, Lord. We pray this all in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. So I've been kind of very reflective the last few months and stuff. I'm nearing my 10th anniversary here at Grace, and it's really been this kind of season of reflection, kind of looking back at sort of what God's done, a number of different changes and things that have taken place, certainly in my life and the life of the church. And it's hard to believe, you know, when I first arrived at the church, and there's probably only like a handful that predate my being here, so a lot of new growth and people that have been here, but you know, I was in my mid-30s, I had 3 young kids, a 6-month-old, so it's hard to believe my 10-year-old was just kind of toddling around, and I had a 3-year-old, 6-year-old, had just finished kindergarten. I had a day job, I was working in a bivocationally, and I was commuting from the East Bay in Oakland. And so to say that I was really kind of overtapped and overextended was really an understatement. But for me, I think that the joy of ministry and the joy of really you know, with just having that desire to grow in God and a heart to serve and accepting this call to pastor this church, that was really kind of, you know, very much, I think, in decline when I first came, and just to see, like, you know, what can we do in this place? And this church has been here since the 60s, and just kind of, you know, asking God, like, what's it going to look like to really, you know, explore different denominational resources and things. And one of the resources that's become familiar to many of us is Life Skills. Linda in the back is, if you are interested in learning more about it, I'm just going to touch a little bit briefly about it. But I knew that as a leader, you know, we're only able to really lead as far as we're able to and willing to go ourselves. And so I had some familiarity with this program, through some mutual friends in the East Bay and Oakland. And so it was something that we, a number of us kind of delved into exploring what this program was about. And just over the years, we ultimately, you know, it kind of helped us to develop a little bit more of a paradigm, for discipleship, in the midst of working on things myself. You know, we really developed this perspective that's evolved, that led me to discover another, similar, but I think kind of a little bit more manageable resource called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. So we've done some studies around this, and we're going to probably delve into this more in the fall. But it's a resource by Pete Scazzera that I referenced earlier. And this notion, this idea of emotional health, isn't something that's really just about a class or a curriculum or just sort of something that we do, but it really is a core value to who we are as a church, including something that's very intrinsic to me personally in terms of my 4 areas of health that I identify in my what's called a rule of life. So I have a kind of spiritual health, how I focus on my spiritual life, and that's one aspect of health. Physical health, just really trying to be more fit and more biking a little bit more. I have lost a little bit of weight. I've gotten some comments about that, but that's another thing. So I'm not looking for props or anything. Vocational health, my calling as a pastor. And then this idea of emotional health, you know, what it looks like for us to really kind of understand who we are and how God has wired us. Because we all need to be healthy. Amen? I mean, healthy, you know, the notion of healthy looks different for different people. I mean, how do we view health? I mean, how do you look at health? You can focus on physical health and sort of, you know, but the reality is, you know, our bodies are always, we're going to be getting older, we're going to have aches and ailments and different things that are going to come upon us, but, you know, what are areas of health that you identify for yourself? When you think about, like, you know, am I healthy? You know, what does health look like? And friends, you know, we're all going to come to points in our lives where we realize, you know, there's some kind of significant change that's needed in our lives, whether you come about it intentionally, saying, you know, I really need to make a change in my life, or sometimes circumstances or a divine encounter, something happens, we say something's got to change in my life and how I live or how I'm approaching things. And the question really is, how will you respond? You know, how do you respond to the things that God is kind of prompting and nudging? And so often, you know, we don't realize the extent to which God is always pushing and nudging and kind of gently shepherding us towards really being responsive to Him. But often we don't have the bandwidth to necessarily really know how to respond, or even just, you know, things happen, family commitments and whatnot, just decisions we're making, and we just sort of don't respond or don't know how to respond to that nudging that we sense is there. And that voice of God can be kind of fleeting for us. We can allow that seed to be planted that God is trying to plant in us to ultimately be snatched away by the enemy. And frankly, that's often what happens for most people. The enemy just takes it and plucks it away. And you know, if you kind of have found yourself in that place where you sense that God has nudged you, that God has prompted you in different ways, you know, you can be in plenty of company that's what happens to most people. They just simply go about their business, and just those deeper things that God wants to teach us really kind of just go away, or we allow those moments to slip away. And I think, you know, often in God, in His mercy, you know, we'll bring it back around at some later point in our lives. I mean, I think it's not like, you know, you have a one-time opportunity to respond to God, and then if you don't respond, it's not going to come back. But you know, I think the idea of being ready to be prepared and attentive to what God is doing in our lives is really the key thing here. And for the early church, you know, in the book of Romans and these letters that Paul wrote to these churches throughout the Mediterranean world, the early church was very keen on its need for transformation. You know, they saw the degree to which their religious life really didn't work very well. You know, there's the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders. They knew how to do church, so to speak. They knew how to do the religious life. And yet, you know, Jesus was among their biggest critics. He says, you know, they were like whitewashed tombs, Jesus called them, Matthew 23:27-28. He says, you are like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of bones and dead and everything unclean. And in the same way, on the outside, you appear as people who are righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And so Jesus really emphasized what was going on in the inside and warned against our tendency to just focus on the outside. And that is so pervasive in our broader culture, right? I mean, so often we're very image conscious. We're very kind of, you know, we focus on sort of what people think of us, you know, particularly social media can have, you know, sort of that negative side of, you know, sort of what you present and how people respond to that. And it's not only pervasive in our broader culture, but even within the church. You know, the church winds up being kind of no different than the broader world and the broader world around us. I mean, we're influenced even within the church, what comes out of Hollywood, the need to be image conscious, to care about what people think, to sort of, you know, pay attention to how many likes you get on something that you post, or pictures and things like that. And Paul's warning to the emerging church at Rome, in an age in which, you know, being a Christian was something that was very, very countercultural in that day in the first century, compared to these Greek philosophies and emperor worship and things that took place that ruled the day. And again, he says, do not be conformed. Do not be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so Paul, you know, he was keen to really call out this whole conformity in the world really is sin. He just says, you know, if you're kind of living your life just like the rest of the world, that's not how God wants you to be living your life. And even for us today, you know, we think like, you know, are we that much different than the rest of the world? I mean, how do we live our lives? And he knew that the church had to be different in the first century, had to be different in order to survive. If you know much about kind of early church history and you know, the Christians being sent to the lions and all this kind of stuff, I mean, the early church had a lot of challenges that it had to overcome, and it had to be different. It had to be fundamentally different from the world. And the church and believers had to shun conformity, to be different. And really, in a lot of ways today, you know, we've really lost sight of that very calling that the early church had, to be different from the world. You know, we sometimes feel like, you know, we want to be relevant. We want to be kind of connected and kind of liked and, you know, all these kinds of things by the rest of the world, you know, for believers. And yet, you know, what's so common is that, you know, Christians really don't look that different than the world, act that different than the world, and behave that different than the world. And so again, we need to really heed Paul's words to not be conformed, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but rather to be transformed. Can I get an amen to that? I mean, transformation is really what, you know, what our lives as believers and as followers of Christ is all about. Do not conform, but be transformed. And then, The last part of that verse 2 says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And I think I would venture for most of us, you know, if we really aspire to be followers, disciples, or even apprentices is a word that I've come to use a little bit more of Jesus. You know, we ought to look and act and behave more like him, more like Jesus. And we want to do his will. I mean, I think all of us, you know, we want to have some sense of, that we're following God's will for our lives. I remember when I was younger, I think in my early 20s or in college or something, you know, I just really wanted to like know God's will. And there was like all these books at the time that were like, you know, decision making and the will of God, all these different things that were like trying to find some kind of pathway to figure out God's will. But, you know, it was like, I mean, here it is in this particular verse, you know, just if we allow ourselves to be transformed, we begin to discover what God's will is for our lives. And, you know, I don't think anybody would necessarily kind of shun transformation, saying, well, you know, of course we want to be changed. We want to be Christ-like. But to what degree does that transformation really begin to allow us to see what God wants us to do in our lives and take steps towards that? Because it's not simply about behavior, but it's about, because our sinful nature is always going to be leading us to fall short. I mean, that's just the reality. We try, and often we want to focus on our behavior. We want to just, you know, try to do the right thing and stuff, but then we fall short. And something happens, we get tempted, we succumb to temptations or whatnot. And so it's not about behavior, but it goes back to that first part of Paul's verse, the twofold commandment to avoid conformity, but specifically to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us such that we are transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, just, you know, how we take in information and knowledge, and even as we're reading scripture, you know, we don't want this to be simply about head knowledge, but how does this come from our heads to hearts and allow that transformation to take place? Because it's not the mind that transforms us, but really the heart. It's about a heart transformation. So we need to have those things work together, because the inner work of heart transformation, the renewal of our minds, provides us really with a healthier perspective on how we're to see ourselves before others. I mean, we don't have the sense of how God ultimately sees us, because, you know, we're so inundated by, you know, by just kind of all the inputs that we allow into our lives, just how people see us and how, you know, and we get so drawn into it and sucked into that. But the inner work of heart transformation, the renewal of our minds, you know, provides us with a healthier perspective. And so Paul continues in the verses that follow, and I think we're going to have the slides pull up from verses 3 on. It says, for by the grace of God given me every day. So let me just reread the verse 2. It says, do not conform by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then it continues. Paul says, for by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. For each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do so diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So I like that encouragement that Paul gives to his hearers, to look at ourselves with sober judgment. You know, it kind of keeps things in perspective in a lot of ways, you know, because, you know, we may aspire to things that are beyond what God wants for us sometimes. We say, you know, I want to do this and I want to achieve this in life and stuff. And it may be what God wants for us. I mean, that's part of, you know, discerning and having a sense of what his will is. But, you know, can we be okay with something else if God has another plan for us? I mean, how do we make sense of that and discern that? We all have gifts. We're looking for something else. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Because you say, oh, you know, my life is going to be better if I have this going on, if I have this job or I have this relationship or I have whatever the case may be. And so often it prevents us from really being able to be present with what God is doing in our lives in the here and now. And as we are renewed and as we are transformed, you know, we're also able to use those gifts that God has given to all of us. Because we all have different gifts and different things, and sometimes, you know, some of us want to explore, like, what are my spiritual gifts? What are the things that I can offer? And part of it is just taking a step of faith out and just saying, let me just try some different things out. Let me just be open to what God has for me in different ways and trying things out. Because as we're renewed and transformed, we're also able to use those gifts that God gives us in a way that glorifies him and doesn't glorify ourselves. You know, friends, I think my hope and my desire is that, you know, we're all here, we come together to worship together because we have some sense that we want and have a desire for renewal and for transformation, both of our mind, but ultimately of our heart. Because again, you know, that heart and that head, you know, needs to be linked together. Something that's been emphasized in how we're reading scripture together. You know, even in our life group discussions, you know, we're talking about that connection between head and heart. But do you sense God's desire in you to transform your life? Do you have this sense like, yeah, I want to change a little. I want to live my life a little bit differently. You know, what are steps that I could take to do that? Because, you know, as we pay attention to that stirring, those nudges that God gives us, you know, we can experience that transformation, that renewal, and just avoid doing the same thing over and over. But it takes intentionality. You know, sometimes we think in our spiritual lives that we, you know, just the longer we go to the church, the longer, you know, we read scripture, some of us do kind of annual reading plans and different things and stuff, and just, it's gonna happen automatically. But we have to be intentional in how we approach our relationship with God. Just like anything else, you know, if we wanna get better at something, it's not about striving. I mean, don't hear me saying that, that it's about striving, about doing stuff, but it's really about allowing, like, just really saying, I wanna seek you, God, in a fresh, in a different sort of way. I want to allow that transformation to take place, and I want to really be intentional about that. And it does take taking steps towards what that would look like for God to be doing that transformation, because it's no small thing. I mean, God wants to work in each and every one of us. He's always at work in our lives. I mean, we see God in all these different places and stuff, and God is present in every aspect of our lives, but so often we only see him in these little, you know, individual places, like, you know, maybe like a church or in our prayer times or whatever. We kind of compartmentalize God. We don't allow, you know, God's continual work in all aspects of our lives, at work and in our families and in our homes and in our neighborhoods and all the different relationships that we have, that God is present in all those different places. But do we see it? Do we see God at work? Do we pay attention to that? Because, friends, as we can embrace this vision of who we can become, and really what Paul is saying to the church in Rome here, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to not conform to the patterns of this world. As a church body, you know, we can have a deep and abiding sense of who we are and how God is making us to be through that transformation of our mind and our hearts. Because, you know, we want to embrace this core value to know yourself that you may know God. To recognize the impact of our past, to recognize that all the different pieces of who we are to this very day has all been building blocks from our past. And that can be kind of welcoming news. That can be sort of sometimes a little bit mixed bag as we look back, and some of us have, you know, challenging histories and different things that we want to get rid of and stuff. But it's still part of who we are. And that's okay, because God understands and knows all those things. And we often, God encourages us to face these things courageously so that we can truly be mature, be emotionally mature in all aspects of our life, our physical, our spiritual, our emotional. And God wants to build up in us, as small a church as we may be, to be a community of faith that has been transformed, that is different from the rest of the world. Because, you know, we can kind of live our lives how we live them. I mean, most people do. You sort of just, you know, kind of do different things that sort of, you know, I think are just how we live our lives and stuff. But God wants to build us up. God wants to transform us. God wants to do a work in each and every one of us. And friends, that inner spiritual life that's emotionally healthy is essential to really a deep and long-lasting spiritual life, spiritual growth. And emphasizing that inner life is what is going to allow us to then for God to use us in really a healthy and fresh way in our outer life as we step out, as we kind of engage in the world and other places and stuff. So my desire for you, my prayer is that would become your desire as well, that you would seek that out with all your heart and your mind and your strength, the power of God to transform you. So to not settle for anything else, to not simply kind of be a Sunday Christian and say, you know, I want church to be a priority, but I want every day of my life, every moment of my life to be about growing in my relationship with God. So shun conformity of the world. Seek transformation of the mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will, his good and his pleasing and perfect will is. Let's pray. So Lord, we thank you for, ultimately for Paul's words, Lord, for this letter that was really meant to be an encouragement to that church in Rome that was trying to make sense of what their newfound faith was in the midst of a lot of changes in the church for both Jews and Gentiles, and just an openness to just doing that deeper work in them, Lord. And I know that, Lord, this is a message for us, God, that in the midst of the way we live our lives today, Lord, you know, we confess that we often do succumb to the things of this world. Our dreams are aligned with the dreams of this world. And there's something about kind of shunning that conformity with the world, that you want us to be transformed, not conformed, Lord. And I just pray that you would be encouraging us, prompting us, nudging us, Lord. And even as we know that you're always at work in our lives, Lord, that we would stop, that we'd step back and say, what are you doing in my life, Lord? What are those nudges that are taking place in my life, Lord? What are those things that you want to grow and go deeper in my life? And how can I respond to those things? How can I be open to what you're doing in my life, Lord? So may that be our prayer, Lord, as we go forth this morning, Lord. And so we just thank you for your word. We thank you for our time together. We pray this in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.